All right, good morning. Thank you, Harry, for sharing with the kids. I love seeing all those kids there. That's really important that we're faithful to share Christ with the kids. Where will the church be in 20 years and in 30 years if there's not the next generation loving Jesus? Anyways, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do want to thank you for this beautiful day that you made. And I thank you that we can gather together in your name freely. Lord, help us not to take it for granted. Lord, I ask that you'd speak to us through your word this morning. And Lord, that you would be at work in each of our hearts, that each one of us could believe challenged and encouraged this morning. Amen. So I was pondering something I observed the last couple of weeks. And it was the lives of two people. I was observing them, and they are from the same household. They're both well advanced in years now, and yet their lives look totally different. One person married a Christian, godly spouse, had multiple children. All of those children chose to marry godly spouses. Now, this person has multiple grandchildren. And many of those grandchildren have already made a decision for Christ. Some of them have already married godly spouses. I look at the sibling of this person, and I see someone who never got married. Did have a child. That child ended up having a partner who they're no longer with. They had a child. And I look at this and I just see radical difference. Same house, radical difference. Not that it's always been easy. For the one I look at, I go, man, it's an amazing example. Not that it's been easy, many big trials, but yet a life full of joy and peace and thankfulness. I think, wow, how did it get there? Because we see the two, I'm like, I don't want my life to be the one. I want it to be the other. But yet that wasn't just a one decision. It was a collection of decisions and choices over many, many decades that puts a person in this position. And so I guess I was thinking I need to, and I would suggest we should, consider our ways. Consider the choices we're making today. In the past, we can't change those things. We can repent to them, but we can't change them. But what we do have is today. What kind of choices are we making today? I'm going to read a passage that's familiar from Galatians, chapter 6, verse 7. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." What does that look like? To sow to the flesh and to sow to the Spirit. I think the difference is between living for self and living for God. And it's not just a one-time decision, but it's in the daily decisions, the little choices we make. Are we sowing to the flesh? Are we trying to live for self? Or are we living for God? Just little decisions. What are we doing? And I'm questioning myself. I'm really thankful for many decisions I've made. I'm really thankful for the God has blessed me in many, many ways. I'm so thankful. But right about right now in my life, what am I living for? What is driving me this week, this day? Not I'm so thankful for how it may have been, but right now. And I guess that's really what I was thinking, is you know what? We will sow what we have reaped. Some of us have sown to the flesh and we've reaped. Some of us have sown to the flesh and maybe we're still living for self. And there might be some reaping, but you know what? The sooner we start to sow to the Spirit, the better it's going to go. That's where the life's going to come. That everlasting life, eternal life, it says we can reap. What is that life? That life is the life of God. It's everlasting, no beginning and no end, and we can partake of it. It's the life He wants to fill us with, even today. There's a verse here in Haggai. I think it's the second last book of the Old Testament. Chapter 1. I'll read verse 5. It says, Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So this was God telling the people, consider your ways. What He's really saying is, what are you living for? I'm going to back up. Verse 3, it says, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. It says, you have sown much, but bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, and no one is warm. And he who earns wages, earn wages to put into a bag with holes. So he's saying, consider your ways. He's saying, look, you're so concerned about your own house, this beautiful paneled house you're building for yourself to dwell in. But the house of God lies in ruins. What does that look like today? Because we know that God no longer does He want to dwell in temples made with hands. But where does He want to dwell? He wants to dwell in us. He wants to dwell on those who are humble of heart, those who are meek and lowly. That's where He wants to dwell. He wants to dwell in someone who has a clean heart, someone who's willing to repent and acknowledge what they've done and turn away from what is wrong and say, God, have your way in my life today and this week. And so I guess it says, consider your ways. What are you living for? Is it the next adventure? Is it something to please self? Or is it about, God, I'm living for you. Lord, have your way in my life. Have your way in my heart. Lord, I want to see you fill me up. I want to see you transform my life into the very nature of Jesus Christ, the life of God in us. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what our goal should be. That's why He's saying, consider your ways. So I think He's actually speaking that to me and to us. Consider your ways. How are things going? Do you feel like you're kind of spinning your tires, but you're not making any ground? You don't have any joy or peace? Remember, I'm not talking about external. There's many people externally, billionaires, they got no peace. I'm not talking about external. I'm talking about internal. How is it going internally? Are you satisfied? What are you feeding on? Right? Some people drink, but they're still thirsty. They eat, but they're still hungry. They never have enough. It's just like everything just falls away. Man, I go on this holiday and that, I'm never satisfied. Bigger house, I'm still not satisfied. What are you living for? Maybe, probably, you're living for self. We need to live for God. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I want to do your will. I don't understand all your ways, Lord. I don't necessarily know your perfect will for me, but Lord, I want to know it. Lord, I want to walk in it. That's the kind of heart we should have. We want to have joy and peace in our heart. What are we living for? Look here in Lamentations. It's right after Jeremiah, chapter 3. Lamentations 3, verse 37, it says, who is he who speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? And the answer is no one. Nothing can occur in our hearts, our lives, and that around us unless the Lord permits it. Nothing can happen to us unless the Lord permits it. Verse 38, is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed? And the answer is yes. When things are not going the way we want, the Lord has allowed it. When things are going really well, the Lord has allowed that too. But more importantly, internally, when you have no rest, the Lord has allowed it. And when you're filled with joy and peace, it's from the Lord. It's from the Lord. It says, 39, why should a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. Sometimes we have no rest and we're searching and trying to fill this void we have with all kinds of things. Lots of activities and busyness. It's common because we're almost scared to be still. Because it's then that we all of a sudden realize maybe I'm living for self and we don't really know if we want to change or face that. But it's the best thing for us to do. It is the only way that we can actually come to hear God speak to us. Just be still and listen. God, speak to me. How am I doing? Where are things at? Lord, am I living for you or living for self? If you do that honestly, you will hear him speak. Not audibly, but he'll speak with his still small voice right here. And he'll speak to us. Why? Because he loves you. He loves us. And he's trying to capture our hearts and turn us toward him. There's that restlessness sometimes for a purpose. He's allowed it so that we would then look up. It says, verse 40, it says, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Interesting. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to the God in heaven. He is totally sovereign. Everything we're going through, he's allowed. And he's wanting to work it for our good. And he's number one concerned about the inside. Remember, not the outside. The outside, we're all going to go through different tests and trials. But it's the inside that he's most concerned about. Do we have rest on the inside? And if not, that's his will. He wants us to have his rest, righteousness, joy, and peace on the inside. That's his will for us. So if we don't have it, he's trying to speak to you. He's trying to draw you to himself so that you would turn away from living for self, living for the flesh, because it will not satisfy for long. Temporarily, yes. The passing, it says, pleasure of sin in Hebrews 11. Sin, living for self, there's a pleasure there, but it's passing. It's short-lived. So what are we living for? It says, consider your ways. Some of the things we're living for in and of themselves are not sin, but it's all about the priorities totally wrong sometimes. Sometimes it's for food. Look at Matthew 6. Look at this. Look, this is what it says that people are doing all around. And we, before you know it, we can become just like them, and we don't want to be. Matthew 6. I'll start in verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters. Who are the masters? It's not God and the devil. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon and material things and money. You cannot serve both. It doesn't say the devil. What are you seeking? What are you serving? Look at the next verse. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, yet what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And the answer is yes. Yes, it is. But yet, he talked about mammon, and he's talking about food, drink, and clothing. That's the very next verse. Material things. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than the birds? And the answer is yes. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? No one. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, the unbelievers seek these things. But yet, what does it say? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He's not going to add mansions, but he's going to meet our needs. We don't need to worry about material things. He'll take care of us. We need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. What is his kingdom? The kingdom of God, it says, is not eating and drinking in Romans, it says this, but rather righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Do we have rest in our hearts? What are we living for? Do we have his peace in our hearts? This is the kingdom of God. It's starting right now on earth in the hearts of men. Therefore, verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. Believer and unbeliever will go through natural tests. Going to go through things that cause us to see, are we going to worry about the natural? Are we worried about tomorrow? Or are we seeking God wholeheartedly today? Lord, my eyes are fixed on a spiritual kingdom. My eyes are fixed on you. That's where our eyes need to be. Let's turn to Psalm 119. I'm going to start actually 59. It says, I thought about my ways and I turned my feet to your testimonies. Here it is, someone considering their ways and they realized they needed to make a change. And I turned my feet to your word, to your testimonies, God. I had to make a turn. I had to change. This applies to all of us, not just to someone who has to make the initial decision to follow Christ, but to all of us. Where are we at? Are we living 100% wholeheartedly for God? Or are we 90%? We need to turn. Are we 50%? We definitely need to turn. We need to turn. If it's not 100%, I can tell you right now, we're just a little off course. In a matter of years, there's going to be disaster. It's just a matter of time. And so the key is, are we living wholeheartedly? I'm pondering this because it applies to me. Verse 57, it says, you are my portion, O Lord. You have said I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and I did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of wickedness have bound me, but I have forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. I would suggest, if we cannot say with confidence that we are 100% wanting His will and His will alone, we need to turn our feet. Turn our feet to His statutes, to His word. And we need to make sure that our companions are those who fear Him. Who are your closest friends? They should be those who fear God. If they're not, you need to turn. It's just a matter of time until you'll reap what you sow, and it will only get worse. Once again, I considered these two lives that I saw, and I thought, wow, what a difference. After decades and decades, what a drastic difference. But it started with just little choices that somehow we justify in our minds, thinking that it's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. And we want to be wholehearted. God has such a great plan for each one of us. And it won't look identical. That on the outward, it's going to look different, but He has a great plan for each one of us. But on the inside, it's the same plan. Righteousness, joy, and peace. A life full of peace on the inside is worth more than anything this world has to offer on the outside. I'm going to end off with one verse. It's in Proverbs 4, verse 23. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Guard your heart. What is your heart passionate about? The devil wants to bring different things into our paths that cause us to come get really excited about different things. Some of them, and many of them, lawful. Because at first glance, if it was blatantly sinful, we wouldn't be attracted. But it seems lawful. Maybe it's not, but it seems lawful. Not that big of a deal. Many of them, lawful. But what are you passionate about? Guard your heart. Because those very natural things that we can become passionate about can pull us away from seeking God wholeheartedly. Anyways, that was what I wanted to share, is consider our ways. Where are we at? Doesn't matter if we're 18, if we're 49, or if we're 70. We want to be able to say that we finished the race. And finally, on that day when we're ready to breathe our last, we'll know with confidence that there's a crown laid up for us because we finished our race faithfully.